This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where I give you access each week to the world's greatest athletes and executives about their personal and professional playbook and what has made them champions on and off the field.
Yankees win!
That contract extension was for $176 million.
Touchdown! And a title for the Patriots!
I can't believe it!
I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer. This is Dave Meltzer, CEO of Sports One Marketing, and I'm here on Entrepreneurs the Playbook. And this is an old friend here. And
yes,
he's,
sir.
I think we have one thing in common. We have the same trajectory. No, you know, back when we were just You Famous, you know, we did with Lee, we did a movie with Jamie Foxx, and he told me it was his first dramatic role, Any Given Sunday. And he told me at that time, he goes, Dave, he goes, I'm Just You Famous. I go, what the heck does that mean? He goes, when I go to a club, they're like, just you.
Ah, I like that.
And now I think we're almost elevated that we're not Just You Famous. Like, we go people, you can at least get our wives in, right?
Exactly. I hope. Well, hopefully not my wife. Let me not stop that at the club. But I get what you're saying, man. How you been, DM?
I've been really, really well, man. What a pleasure to be here in the ESPN studios with you. You know, this show's about understanding the playbook, and you're one of my favorite people, but also players. You know, I'm a San Diego fan.
Yes.
And loved to watch you play. And I love a guy that's a heady player. You're an Ivy Leaguer. You went to one of the schools that I wanted to go to. I just wasn't good enough.
Oh, don't do that.
I speak at Columbia now. Okay. You know, I go to New York, and my favorite opening line is, you know, you guys rejected me for undergrad and for law school. Now you're paying me to speak here. I got the ultimate revenge, right?
You won.
Well, anyway, let's start with the playbook. I want to start with some of your personal values,
okay,
right? I think most successful people on and off the field like yourself have very strong personal values.
Yeah.
Where does that lie for you? What's your favorite, you know, what do you rely on when you were, you know, at the Ivy League playing, going up to, you know, second round draft pick with Buffalo? I'm sure there's like some of those personal values that are tested. What are your standard personal values that are in your playbook?
Yeah, I love it. Obviously, this is a rear view mirror conversation because in the moment, in the moment, obviously you're tested, you're challenged, whatever your motto, your mantras are. But looking back, I think it started with identity. I'm from Los Angeles, Compton, California. So obviously we know about the adversity in the neighborhood. The gangs, the poverty.
You were actually shot at in high school. Isn't that true?
Yeah. Real talk.
Crazy.
Yeah, bullets hitting the football field. That was one of the incidents where I was shot at. But, you know, when you're dealing with all those elements, the one thing that I thought was the most disturbing was the low ambition. People who were just going to jobs, not careers. People who didn't design their life. And this is my family members. My mom, my father, cousins, uncles, et cetera, who never got to live out a dream. Like, everyone was just going through a life experience that really was subdued compared to what their desires truly were. And I was 7 years old. I put a cape on my back just because of my academic success to that point and athletic success to that point. And I'm seven, but I'm already good in sports. I'm already good in the classroom. And it started with one word, identity. I realized I was not a gangster. I realized I was not a drug dealer. I realized that life was not for me, wasn't even enticing, wasn't even tempting. I had uncles, older uncles. One was murdered, one committed suicide, and one was assaulted and died 5 years later. This is when I'm young, 5, 6, 7, 10 years old. And when you go to funerals at that age and you remember them walking into the room and tears falling from their eyes. But when they walked outside the room and outside the home, everyone was scared of them. You start to see behind the veil. And I was able to see behind the veil that that life experience wasn't for me. And that set me on the path of what I was, which is going to be a balancing act between academics and athletics. So identity was strong for me growing up. Of course, you're adolescent, you go through trying times and, you know, you go through bouts and issues, but nothing that ever took me off those tracks.
What was your number one trying time? You know, you're a young guy in Compton, and there's a lot of temptation.
Yeah.
And there's probably a lot of threats.
Right.
Right? Because people are threatened by success. They're threatened. You know, I always say, there's only so much of my vision that I can share with people, because sometimes when I do, it really scares them. Mm. And they start, being haters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're going to start putting negative energy, attacking thoughts towards me. Give me one of those identity crises where you felt like, wow, you know, this is too hard or you know, scary or something.
Yeah. It wasn't because of the street violence, and it wasn't because of people trying to get me into gangs or get me off the path. It was really one time in high school where I didn't know if my athletic pursuits were going to come to life. I didn't know if I had it. I didn't know if I was good enough, because that really started to unravel everything I had in spirit, because I knew I was a balancing act. And that was one of the things I counted on. So in high school, when I run from being a tailback, and because of injury and Oscar Slaughters and knee issues, you remember those days, right?
I was there.
And growth spurts, that I was awkward. I was just not coordinated. And I'm a guy, I will say this because of statute of limitations, recruited to go to high schools. Like, I was sought after coming from a Pop Warner level. So I thought I was on a yellow brick road to success to the NFL. And in high school, it just didn't go as advertised. It just didn't. And I remember just sitting there watching HBO, Midnight Hour, and all my friends are hanging out or, you know, just riding bikes or just in the neighborhood doing stuff. And I'm just sitting there in the house just thinking about what's going to happen with my life if I don't make it. And that was a trying time for me. And what helped me get out of that is I've always been a person that counts who's with me, not who's against me. Nice. So I know people think haters exist, and I know it's a real thing, but I never give them the time of day. Like, I literally have no energy, no attention. I can't even count how many haters I have because I'm steadily looking for who's in my corner, who's on my side, and I just add from there.
I tell people all the time, 7 billion people on Earth. Why waste your time with those people that aren't aligned? You know how long it takes you to convince someone that's against you to be for you? Mm. You know how much energy, just one person.
Yeah.
Why waste your time?
Exactly.
Right? Take all the people that are for you and help them, right? The more you can be of service to the people that are for you, the more people will be for you. And I say it, so many people, and you see it in the league, right? They waste so much time, especially with social media. They're so worried about what everyone else thinks. I finally have a following, and I love the negative things, because I'll say, you know what, can I send you my book? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sorry you feel that way. Thank you so much. I pray for your happiness. And that's the only way I found that I could even turn someone, is just don't give them the energy.
No.
And people, I got 3 daughters that are teenagers. They waste so much energy.
Oh, yeah. I have a daughter that's 18. So
she's at UConn?
She's at UConn running track right now.
That's right. Awesome.
And that takes me to my second mantra, the one that really stabilizes me. And it was something that I heard in quote from Mark Twain, life is a competition between you and yourself.
Yep.
Once I heard that, I mean, literally epiphany, literally lights, light at the end of the tunnel. You cannot take me off my path ever. And why and how did that materialize in my life? It was simple. Like you said, when someone's not with me, I spend no energy convincing you, because my success will be my revenge. But beyond that, you're not in the competition with me. It's about me getting derailed by something you said, or is it about me being disciplined to what my desires and my goals are? So simply through every endeavor I go through, and look, there's a cooling off period. I got to take a deep breath. I got to remember, oh, Mark Twain, come on.
Right.
But yeah, I just know that through all my success and failures have come down to me staying true to whatever is guiding me. And that's usually a desire, a goal, and actions. And anyone else who's saying anything else, hey, they'll find out later, like everyone else.
The truth always comes out. I have a saying, enjoy the pursuit of your own potential.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's there all. Just is. Enjoy that pursuit of the own potential. And another story comes to mind is, you know, there was one of those master kung fu guys that took on 10 people in the big circle.
Oh, right.
And he kicked everyone's butt.
Did they come one at a time, like on TV?
No, like, no, even
did one. They all come at 10?
They all came, right?
And he beat them all?
Right. And he comes off. And so the question was, how did you stay centered? Because that's what you're talking about. Sometimes I'm off.
Yep.
But he said, you know, the funny thing was, I was never really centered. What you didn't see was I learned how quickly I could get to center. Right. Most of the time when all those 10 were, I was off balance. I was, on the defense or the attack, but I learned how to get back to center. And you seem like someone to me that, you're human, right? You're very emotional like me.
Yes.
But you don't stay and when we're younger, I'm sure I could get stories from you where you wasted energy,
oh, yeah.
got upset.
Big time.
But how much money, besides money, mm-hmm. how much time and energy were wasted if we just simply go back to center and it just doesn't matter. You actually were, if I'm not wrong, the national champion in typing. 82 words a minute. Is that true?
With one error. That's the key part, because it's not just the speed. It's can we read what you just wrote and what you just typed? And yeah, 82 words with one error in the eighth grade, I won a national champion type.
See, if you weren't a great football player, you knew you had another career.
Right, right.
You could have wrote
different
books,
pay grade.
Yeah, definitely different pay, but longer career.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
man.
Awesome. Well, let's move a little bit into mentorship. Hmm. One of the things in the playbook that I see, you know, you have these personal values like identity, you know, being centered like you are. But moreover, there's someone that helped us.
Yes.
Right. And you have some really strong figures in your life. Tell me about one of those people that was your true mentor. You know, we have our spiritual mentors like Mark Twain and that, but mm-hmm. who really helped you guide you through that vision that you have and this great attitude that's going to just continue to make you the man?
Yeah, I think my upbringing, it was the four pillars. My mother, my father, my grandmother, and my sister. Let's start with my sister. Just my biggest cheerleader. Someone who always told me to keep my pom-poms close and make sure I cheer the loudest for myself. Nice. You watch any game, it's interesting if you watch fans and cheerleaders. When the team is down, the crowd is quiet. The cheerleaders don't even want to dance, right?
Right.
But as soon as we win, everybody wants to cheer and jump up, right? Right. Which is just the complete opposite of what you need. When you're down, you need people to go rah, rah, rah,
lift
rah.
You up.
My sister told me that at an early age. Pump yourself up, especially in your down moments. So she's one. My grandmother, who always told me not to give a damn. Like, baby, do you. Don't let them steal your joy and don't give a damn. Like, just whatever you set out to do, go get it. And just don't give a damn. So she, Gangsta G, as they called her. She didn't care about anything except her babies going out there and winning in life. My mother is... Like, my mother and father were a balancing act for me as well in the house. My mother is the crayons, and my dad's the coloring book. My dad is principle-based. If you open it up, you say, okay, this is something here. I can make something with it. Very principled. Right,
black
wrong.
Black and white.
Black, white. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But my mom was the crayons and the deluxe box, 64 with the sharpener. And she was vibrant, full of life, and just gave me all my energy, my emotion, my emotional content. She really gave me life. So I think if you swirl all of that up and those ingredients, that's kind of a culmination of who I am.
That's awesome. No, you're a very giving person. You have been since you've been young. You know, you've given back to the community. Tell me about what you feel giving does. You know, I look at the great leaders in their playbook, and from Zig Ziglar, who said, the more that you do for other people, the more it's going to come back to you. I believe that you are of service and you create a void for the universe to fill. That's how mm-hmm. people say, you know, more I give, I get 10 times back.
Right.
You know, there's a physics of the universe. I believe in that. And you're probably one of the few football players that understand physics and probably can relate. What does giving mean to you, and where do you give, and how do you feel about it?
Yeah, well, just the opportunities that were given to me that I've earned, that I've been blessed to encounter, just makes me understand that path from where I was. And I was a fork in the road kid. Say what you want about my early success. It's the fact that it could have went a different way. And I know that. And because it didn't, I show gratitude by my giving through that bridge from that blessing of mercy and grace, that I'm still here, that I'm on this right side, that I'm still going down my path of dreams and goals. So it starts there. We all know to give is to get. And what do I get when I give? There's something about that fire inside that, one, it gives me perspective. Like, I volunteer at a homeless shelter. When I see a young teenager come in there that's homeless, that maybe you've dealt with addiction or bad choices or maybe some mental instability, whatever it may be, that person sitting in front of you, you start counting your blessings immediately. And then you start to try and give your blessings to them in articulation, through gifts, anything you can. You're just trying to help and enhance their situation. I'm indebted to those moments where I know that I'm in a place of favor, and not everyone is. And I think that when you give, you get reminded of what was given to you, whether it's talent, opportunities, things that break the right way for you. And let's be real, some things that don't go your way that actually taught you a greater lesson so that when it did go your way, you felt better about it.
No doubt. And one of the things that most people don't realize about celebrity athletes like yourself, because there's just athletes, but they're celebrity athletes, is that there is a huge demand on your time. You have a daughter and a son and a wife and a family, and you live in your hometown.
Yes.
And one of the things that I'm amazed at, and I have been blessed to be around Warren Moon because he's one of the most philanthropic people in the world, my business partner. But what people don't see that I see is how many nights a week, or even doing this podcast, right, that you're out for, you know, for me at the Unstoppable Foundation or Janko, right? And they don't know that you fought an hour and a half traffic after you worked the entire day on the radio and TV.
Right.
And you fought that traffic and you got there. And then to get there, you're not relaxing.
Yeah, right.
It's not a big party because everybody wants a piece of you, right? They want to, and you are a celebrity, so you have to put on that, oh my gosh, I'm high energy. Yeah. To me, I know you give a lot of money, you give a lot of inspiration, but to me, the biggest gift that you give, and it's so hard, is that you know, and my heart goes out to you because it's so difficult. And I deal with that as I build my brand. Like, man, do I really want everyone to know who I am? I'm not so sure because I watch you and I'm like, how are you so gracious?
Yeah.
You know, what's the biggest challenge, you know, balancing? Because like, you get 100 asks and you're doing these things. What's the biggest challenge about that side of giving where you, it's not monetary, but you just are like, man, I just want to sit at home and watch the Cubs game tonight.
Yeah.
Right, with my son.
It's a lot of ways you can slice that one. I remember a veteran in the locker room once said, it beats the alternative. And the alternative is no one wants you anywhere.
Right.
No one wants your autograph. No one wants a picture
no
with
money,
you.
No money, right.
No exactly. money. So it beats the alternative.
My grandfather used to say that when he was 97. I'm like, oh, you're looking good, Pops. Beats the alternative.
Exactly.
He's here, right?
Sometimes you need to keep that perspective when you get a little high on your horse.
Yeah.
The other thing that really came into play was the fact that the fine print of success to me, why do you get the big contract? Why are you a celebrity? Why are you getting all these ass? The fine print says, we pay you for the things you don't want to do. They didn't pay me to play football on Sundays. I was doing that when I was seven. I was playing football since I was a little one. Before I even knew who I was, I knew what that was. So they don't pay you for Sunday football. They pay you to go to practice. They pay you to make sure you're in shape. They pay you through injury to make sure that you're taking care of yourself, eating right, signing that 1,000th autograph, making sure you show up to all these endeavors they have scheduled for you. The stuff you don't necessarily wake up out of bed and say, I'm passionate about, that's where that check goes. So I always keep that in mind when it becomes mundane or taxing. It's like, you know what? This is why you're in that position to have that platform. You're responsible to make sure you do these little things. So you add all that up. It's a blessed experience. You know, I'm a kid who realistically feels the energy of how I grew up. And I'm so glad I have that mental capability of feeling how it was being on a bus stop for an hour and a half to just take a 10-minute bus. Like, I've been that kid with my family. Right. I've been that kid that was on welfare and food stamps. So I just don't take it for granted. And that's so cliche. And everyone, it's a different play for them. But for me, you don't have to remind me how it could be. And that's why I always represent and take care of what I have.
Yeah, my mom always said, remember the integrity of your home. Remember where you came from. Because it's easy to forget when we're spoiled with the lifestyle that we lead now. And she's always reminding me of that. Two quick questions. This one, I call it the dummy tax.
Okay.
Right? Everyone thinks that you make it and you made it and it was easy, right?
Oh,
they don't know the bus stops. They don't know the you know, riding the bike and all this stuff that we had to go through.
Yeah.
But what's the biggest dummy tax that you paid? The biggest mistake that if you could go back and tell all these other kids in high school or in college and say, look, just, you know, I did this and I wish I wouldn't have. What would that be?
How long is the podcast? I'm not lying, Lord.
Just one good one for
one good one. I think it would have to go to money. It would have to. I mean, all the other lessons. look, Shannon Sharpe was blocking me as I was a rookie. He was an all-pro veteran, future Hall of Famer at the time. And he's blocking me during the play. He sees I'm frustrated. He's laughing, coming back to huddle, block me again, hold me, didn't care, not getting called. He's Shannon Sharpe. I'm the rook. And then one day he was like, man, stop stressing. Stop tripping. It's all about M&Ms. Block me again, hold me again. I was like, well, it's M&Ms. This is during a game. Yeah. Real talk. He said, money and memories. I said, He said, that's all you're going to take from this game, money and memories. So let's go to the financial lesson. First, learn what the value of money really is, the value of a dollar. And I put my hand up in the air. A lot of people put their hands up in the air. My two best friends, both are Wall Streeters. So I had advanced education in the value of money. But learn what a dollar and the power it has behind it. Because too often we're given that and not knowing the power we have in our hands. So the biggest dummy tax, whether it was, I was engaged three different times. So, oh Lord, that's three different lives and households.
You can stop there. Just stop there.
Calm down, y'all. And rings out here and cars there.
Okay.
Like, you know, it's the same story, but really just understand what you don't know and respect that you don't know it and don't be in fear to find out what it is. And I think our ego's getting involved. We become the man of the house at 21, 22. And it's like, who do you ask in your surroundings? So then if you have to ask someone else who's not in your comfort zone, then you're like, I'm trusting this stranger. How do I know if I could trust them? Are they robbing me? And the vicious cycle continues. Yeah. So find someone that you can trust that can educate you about the power in your hand, that dollar.
So you got these great playbooks. Before we get to the last question, you got the identity. You have the giving of yourself, and importantly, surround yourself with the right people and the right ideas. I always say, I find the people that have the situational knowledge that I don't have. My biggest mistake is the same as yours. Mm. I didn't know what I didn't know. I owned a golf course. Never asked one person, not one person, what should I do? Because I thought, man, I've always made money. This is my big play, right? The thing's worth $100 million. This is, I'm never going to work again. Mm. Never. And little did I know that the banks would stop giving me money.
Yeah.
Right? 2008 would happen.
Yes.
Right? And all I had to do was ask an older person that had seen economy switch, what banks have done. And it's so important to have a mentor, to someone to find the trusted sources, the advisors. And I will tell you too, just because somebody loves you and you found this out when you got money, doesn't mean that they give you good advice.
Mm-mm.
Right? Just and we have people in our lives that adore us, love us, but they don't know anything about what we're dealing with, houses and cars and Wall Street and equities and annuities. And we're asking them for help thinking, whoa, that's my mama, right? She knows everything. And all of a sudden we resent them because they make us, give us bad advice. Last question, my favorite one, we'll let you go.
Right.
What legacy does Marcellus Wiley want to leave?
Oh, wow. My legacy is probably differently defined than the average. It's not so public. It's really within the walls that I call home. It sincerely is me investing all of my time, energy, whatever I have as resources into my children, into my wife, into my family name. Because when I was born, being called Marcellus Wiley was X. And it wasn't too high. I'm going to be respectful, but it wasn't too high. When I leave here, I want it to be much, much higher. And I'm in pursuit of that. I know I've done a good job, but legacy to me is that you're afforded that respect. You're afforded those opportunities just because of the name. I'm not stupid. The reason I didn't go to big schools to play football, even though I was offered scholarships, was simple. I wanted to be afforded the respect that comes from being an academic. I wanted to be thought of as intelligent before you even heard my name, or you even tested me or quizzed me. Simple as this. Somebody rolls by and they got a Rolls Royce Phantom. The first thing you think is somebody's doing well. The last thing you think of is, oh, are they rich or not? You already assume they are, right?
Right.
Go to Columbia, damn it. Go to a good school. You don't know if I'm smart or not. Already you're thinking, he's a smart cat right there. I want those opportunities for the Wiley name. I know a lot of people want their name on buildings, respect. People want to say, oh, everyone talks about me to the dawn of time, the end of time. Good luck. Me, it's just those little nuggets in my family, man. Just not having that same experience I have, an enhanced experience, and they could take it to the next level.
That's awesome. Well, you know, if you think education's expensive, try ignorance. I love any man in the world that has such success on the field and off the field as a businessman that you are, but your main icon for legacy is just plain intelligence, which is an awareness. Yep. And I respect that, man. And I especially respect you. This is the playbook. I'm with one of my best friends. And, you know, I learned so much here. I'm just so grateful that you took the time to share that with our audience, because I think they're going to gain a lot of intelligence themselves. So thank you, Marcellus.
Man, appreciate you always, Dave, man. I'm on the DM. That's what we're going to call this
That's
show.
That's right.
On the DM.
On the DM. Star Brandon. Take care, my friend.
Appreciate you, brother.
Right on.
Sweet.
Can we do real quick, can we do the intro just one more time?
Wait, what do you want?
Just like intro, you think it's the playbook game?
No, yeah.
Oh, really? Familiar.
I just want to do that real.
What's his name?
right.
I was like, what's the DJ name? Dad.
That dude.
About with that dude.
Yeah. So just one real quick.
All right.
And then you can
stop. Let him go. Are we good? All right. Cool.
Give it like 3 seconds
of silence. Cool. So this is Dave Meltzer, CEO of Sports One Marketing, and I'm here on Entrepreneurs the Playbook, and I have a very special guest. Marcellus Wiley, ESPN's superstar, the Charger, the man, the Pro Bowler, we'll find out something else really important later on. Be sure to tune in next Monday, where we feature another story on how a sports icon went from the playing field to the boardroom.